We have to take action. Without action, everything in the book, whatever we decide to do, is never going to manifest because we're not putting in any work to get it. It's just like we go to the stove and say, okay, give me food, but we don't turn the stove on. We don't cut up the veggies and put it on the stove to cook. So if we don't put in the work, we're never going to achieve success.
Hello and welcome to The Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your daily helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. We have a really brilliant and talented guest to share with you today. Her name is Chloe Panta, and she is the author of Untapped Magic, and we're going to talk about that book extensively. She is a highly sought-after mindset expert and transformational coach who helps people achieve their ultimate life goals. A good thing to be sure, she uses an evidence-based, proven system with scientific data to support its effectiveness to help her clients overcome obstacles that are keeping them stuck in life. Chloe is everywhere. She's been featured in countless media outlets, to name a few, the LA Times, Newsweek, and Medium, and I can't wait to share her with all of you today. Chloe Panta, welcome to The Daily Helping. It is awesome to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Richard. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you. I want to start. I know you're doing awesome things. I can't wait to dig into your book a little bit, but I want to hear the Chloe Panta superhero origin story. So take us back to the beginning. Tell us what put you on the path you're on today.
Absolutely. This is a really good question because I think this helps to lay the foundation for why I wrote the book, but also to give people a little bit of backstory about me. So I grew up in Detroit, fellow native Detroiter like yourself, and I grew up in one of the roughest neighborhoods in West Detroit. And that propelled me to want to change my life because I wanted to find out how can I have things that I don't have access to. And by doing that, I had a lot of questions. So I did a lot of research. I went to different types of communities. I went to churches, organizations. I spoke to friends and family to figure out how can I live a joyous, happy life? And that was my quest. That was my simple quest, was how can I live a happy life that would allow me to do whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it? And by going down that journey, I was able to discover that all of the questions I have, all of the answers to those questions, they lie within. And I was on a deep dive into spirituality, but also mindset techniques and how our mind actually works and how we can use the tools that we already have to help us to propel and live a more joyous life. So that was something that really started to make me think about the things I was saying and the people I was hanging around, and if something made me upset and why I would linger on that and why would I just not let it go. And I started to question my behavior and the behavior of others. And once I got a grasp on when I think about happy thoughts or when I'm joyous, then my day goes well. But when I don't have good thoughts and I dwell on things and my day doesn't go so well, I began to realize how powerful the way that we think actually is. And over time, that prompted me to become a certified life coach, become a certified hypnotherapist, to become certified in learning different modalities and techniques that have to do with our mind and how we can change the behavior of our minds to actually change the lives that we live. And that's what prompted me to want to share the knowledge with others, because I was able to change my life. I was able to leave the neighborhood that I grew up in and get a place on my own at 19. I was able to change my life and call in abundance and joy. And I wanted to be able to share that with other people. And that's what prompted me to write the book, because at that point, I realized I need to share my story. And that's really what I believe drew me to wanting to create Untapped Magic, is because I wanted people to know that the magic that we seek, it lies within. We don't have to have any type of external validation. What we're looking for simply is already within us.
I want to circle back to part of your story before we go further into Untapped Magic, because one of the things that is proven to be true is your environment, and more specifically, the people around us, really determine a lot of our mindset, right? And there's neurobiological reasons as to why that's the case. And certainly there's emotional and psychological reasons as why that's the case. And so you have positioned the story as if you got out, right? You got out of a really rough neighborhood. But so I'm interested, because you said you went and sought advice from people around you. And then you later said that you kind of discovered that this happiness comes from within. So the advice you got from those people in your community in Detroit, when you got that advice, was that the right advice or was it the wrong advice? And then you sought to kind of go beyond and then find the answer.
It wasn't sound advice. I would say the advice that I got was from people who, from the best of their knowledge, tried to give me the best response. But it wasn't the best response for me at that time, because they weren't acting as how they were telling me to behave or how I should be. They weren't a good example of what I should become. So I wanted to speak to someone who was 10, 20, 30 steps ahead of me, someone who was living the life that I wanted to live, or someone who was in a position where I would see them as a leader or someone who could show me the way. And I didn't have that in my life, because my whole life, I grew up around people who hustled for a living, where they went to the racetrack and they bet on horses, or they blow their money on things that they actually want, but not what they need to take care of. So I didn't have an environment where I was able to confide in someone who I thought would lead me down the right path. But if that's all you know, and you're trying to figure out a way out, you seek an adult or someone who's older than you, who has more experience, to try and guide you down the path you want to go to. So I went to church and I would ask pastors, I would speak to nuns, I would speak to priests. I went to different types of churches because I just wanted to know, how can I live a more joyous life? And I just felt as if the church was an environment where people are happy, they're joyous, and I wanted to experience that, but not only in the church environment, but outside of that. And I couldn't get, again, a clear answer. And that led me to going into spirituality, understanding more about the body-mind connection. Because at that point, I wanted to understand, well, if I'm feeling these emotions, if I'm feeling depressed and sad and anxious, but if I go to church on Sunday and I feel amazing in that time there, but afterwards it kind of dwindles off, what am I doing wrong, or what can I do to continuously to have that joyous feeling? And that was something that propelled me to want to dig a little bit deeper into how to actually obtain and keep happiness, not let it, you know, go away from me. And I didn't know how to grasp onto that at the time. So I didn't have a lot of adults in my life early on who could propel me to get to that point. And that's why I had to seek outside counsel, because I was trying to figure out, how can I escape something that I really don't know how to get out of?
It's amazing, though, that you had the mindset to do it in the first place, which speaks to your resiliency and, you know, determinism, because so many people, like you said, they stay where they are. They don't get out. You were in an environment where people were surviving, but not thriving. Yeah. And now you're very much thriving. So, and you already kind of gave us the road as to what led you to write Untapped Magic. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about this book. So what is somebody going to learn when they read this cover to cover?
This book is for anyone who's ready to change their life. on a quantum level. You probably have done self-help books before. Maybe you've gone to seminars. Maybe you have no idea what this is even about, but you know that something has to change. This book is for that person. This book is for someone who's down on their luck. This book is for someone who's spent years and years practicing spirituality, the law of attraction, and mindset techniques, and they want to dive a little bit deeper. This is for the absolute beginner. And what you'll learn in this book are proven techniques, modalities, and tips that will allow you to change the way that you're thinking in order to cultivate a new way of thinking. A lot of us were stuck, and a lot of us don't know how to get unstuck. And we do things for a little bit, but then it gets too scary. It feels too out of whack. It doesn't feel comfortable anymore. We go back to our complacency. We go back to being complacent. We just kind of go back into being comfortable. And this book will ease you out of that comfort zone if you're looking to grow. It's simple, bite-sized steps you can take every single day that'll help you propel to achieve a goal, to change how you're thinking, and really call in not only joy and abundance and happiness, but to find love, to love yourself for the first time, to find a partner, to be able to just be happy holistically. That's what this book is about. And I wrote it for someone who either has no clue as to what to do or where to start, but it's also for someone who has years of experience. So that's what the book is. And it's just for someone who wants to really become a better person holistically on all levels in their lives.
So you've said holistically twice. So that to me says that that's something you view as very important. So I want to get your take on what happiness is from a holistic level first. Mm-hmm. Well, let's just do that. I'll save my second question. Let's start there.
Okay. Happiness holistically is every area in your life. You're sound. Finances are sound, your body is sound, your mind is sound, you are in a state of joy, you can cultivate in abundance, and if something's out of whack, you know how to quickly get back into alignment. That's what holistic happiness means to me, where every area of your life, or at least 90%, is in alignment with who you are on an authentic level. And what I mean by that is, you aren't pretending to be someone in order to live in this world. You are who you are authentically, and you are that person unapologetically. Regardless of what anyone has to say or think about you, you show up in this world as your whole authentic self. And that's what this book teaches you how to do. If you have no idea what that is, the book will help you identify that, so that you have your core beliefs, and then you can align with who you were meant to be on an authentic level.
All right, so you've said that this is for the beginner, the stuck person that has no idea where to begin or what to do. And it's for somebody who's been playing this game for a little while. So let's presume that a person has no clue what to do and they pick up this book. Take us through some of the initial steps, some of the initial strategies, the tools, the tips, the things that you would advise somebody to do so that they may start finding out how to have joy in these different areas of their life.
Yeah. So first, we have to lay the foundation. And what that means is we have to unblock whatever's keeping us stuck. That means we have to figure out where in our lives do we feel stuck and stagnant. Is it something that happened in our childhood that we are still looping? And what I mean by looping is that we keep playing that scenario over and over again, and we're reliving that scenario, different scenes, but it's the same exact thing that's happening to us. That can be an example of when we grew up, we were told that we can't have what we want in this world, that it's going to be really difficult to achieve success because we've seen our parents go through having to work and bend over backwards and struggle to make ends meet. Maybe as a teenager or a young adult, we've had to struggle and we don't really know what success looks or feels like with ease and flow. So our entire lives, we've had to struggle in order to cultivate success or somewhat of a successful life. that is considered a blockage, where in our mind, we have a belief where if we do not work hard or bend over backwards, we're not going to cultivate success. We can then change that way of thinking to one where we can still have success and we can achieve that with ease and flow. So in order to unblock in that area, we have to go back to a time in our childhood, even as a young adult, where someone told us that we have to struggle or we have to work hard to achieve success. And it's a very slim chance that we'll actually achieve that success. Once we unblock that, and we unblock that in the chapters I have in the book, it basically tells you the exact steps to do that. But one of the steps is going back as an observer to your childhood and seeing that scene being played out, and then telling your younger self that it's okay. You don't have to struggle. What you need, you already have. This is not your story. And once we go back and do that, we lay down a foundation that we can actually unblock that scene in our childhood to then cultivate a new way of thinking. Once we unblock that belief system that we have, we then have to release that blockage. So we have to let it go. And we do that by reinforcing positive affirmations, but also we can do that by rewiring our neural pathways. So when we do that, we're able to cultivate in new neural pathways that will then tell us a new story. That new story can be that I can call in success with ease and flow. But not only saying that, but believing that's actually going to be possible for you to be able to achieve with success. Then once we do that, we have to reinforce that. So continuously becoming the person who achieves success with ease and flow into our lives. So those are some foundational steps that we can do to unblock, but then call in ease and flow, or whatever we're trying to call in our lives.
So what I am hearing from all of this is many of these techniques that you're taking a reader through mm-hmm. are rooted in psychological practice and concept. Going back and viewing the event of your childhood, a tough event as an observer, mm-hmm. rewriting that story, so to speak. I mean, that's techniques out of trauma treatments that are very successful with people. Where you're talking about kind of changing the way you view things, that's straight out of cognitive behavior therapy and the changing one's worldview and the neural pathways, while not something that we can consciously and intentionally do, our studies, and this includes diagnostic imaging of the brain, knows this is when we create new habits, when we extinguish which is a very clinical behavioral term. And when we extinguish habits and thoughts that are maladaptive and not helping us, then the new neural pathways do become formed. And so you're talking about things, and I love this because it's a very digestible, non-scary way of talking about science. You're talking about essentially cognitive reprogramming, to where you're undoing and unwinding past trauma, shifting one's view of self, others in the world, while creating new neural pathways in the form of new ways of thinking, which all is grounded in science. So you've got me here. I'm digging this. Now, let's flash forward a little bit, Chloe, because we've gone through this work and we've built this foundation, using that's your word. So once we have the foundation, what comes next?
So once we have the foundation, we have to reinforce it. We have to continuously practice what we're doing. We can't just, you know, okay, I'm here where I want to be. I'm done. Okay, I don't have to do anything anymore. That's not how this thing works. You have to continuously build that muscle, just like when you meditate, when you go to the gym, when you go to work, you're continuously learning and building because you have to strengthen your practice. So we have to reinforce that. Now, one thing that I've done in the book, and there are several of them, is I've created what I call creative imaginings. And these are basically subliminal audios. And what these do is they go into our subconscious mind to help us reinforce our new ways of thinking. So in the creative imaginings, there are messages that I have created that are specific to whatever chapter you may be reading or whatever chapter you're on or whatever you're going through in life. There are CIs, as I call them, on love, on money, on abundance, on health, on forgiving others. And when we reinforce these ways of thinking, our subconscious mind then knows this as our new truth, because what we've been told in the past may have been true to someone, but not to us. But we've taken it as our truth. So in order to cultivate our own truth, we have to then tell our subconscious mind, hey, I don't want to have that old truth as my new truth. I need you to believe something new for me right now. I'm trying to live a much better life. So now I want you to take this truth as my own reality. And that can be the messaging that I create in the creative imagining. So what that does, it reinforces the neural pathways, but also it tells our subconscious mind, I want you to believe this for me, and I want you to bring this type of stuff into my physical world. So that's what I call reinforcing. That would be the next step after we have the foundation.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. You mentioned subliminal audio. So what does that mean? Do we record, you know, something on our phone and play it at night? What are we talking about?
So I've actually done all the hard work. You simply just listen to it. I've created these audios myself, and they have messages I've put into the audios. So what the audio track does, it goes into our subconscious mind, and we can listen to them either when we're awake, and I also have some that we can listen when we're going to bed. And what happens is when we listen to these specific audios, the subconscious mind picks up the audios, and they're able to, when they're played over and over again, let's say you listen to it for an hour a day, or let's say a couple of months, your subconscious mind is now in a position where it has created a new way of thinking. And the old way is now going to be reprogrammed with the new way that you're thinking. So in the book that I have, in specific chapters, you can listen to the CIs when you're doing your homework, when you're reading, writing, whatever, any time of the day or night. And you automatically are programming your subconscious mind with a new way of thinking to reinforce all that you've done. So that's what they are. That's what a subliminal audio is.
All right. So we've got our foundation. We're using your CIs plus some other techniques for reinforcing what's there. Mm-hmm. What comes next?
After that, you just live your life. You reap the benefits. I mean, you start to see either small, subtle changes or large changes in your life. You are a different person. You're behaving differently. You're becoming the person that you actually wanted to become. So you are that new version of yourself. You've also cultivated new friendships. Your existing ones are noticing how much you've changed. You've noticed a change in yourself, and your life literally is changing before your eyes. So an example in my own life, when I began to do this work, I was able to, at a time, call in a career that paid more than double than what I was making before. I was able to call in a brand new apartment because I was living in a place I didn't want to live in anymore. I wanted to up-level my life. I was able to call in my partner, who's now my husband, and I was able to call in happiness and joy. And that happened all in a span of months. It was a very quick time frame in which that happened. But that was also because I was able to see something that I wanted to achieve. I was able to take aligned, actionable steps to get there, but also feel how it would actually feel to have that in my life and know I was worthy and deserving of that. So the next step after we reinforce would be to see what we want to have in our lives and see how our lives would play out when we have that in our lives, but then feel what it would feel like to have that in our lives. So you're eating an ice cream cone. How does it feel to have a delicious ice cream cone? Just imagine that ice cream. It's strawberry. It's dripping down the side of the cone. You lick it up. It's delicious. It feels amazing. You're happy. That's a wonderful feeling, right? So if you're trying to call in, let's say, a partner, how would it feel to have that partner love you unconditionally for where you are right now, treat you with respect and kindness? Those are what we have to feel and imagine how we would actually have to have that, but also feel worthy and deserving of having that in our lives. And that's when it shows up in our lives. So that would be the next step after reinforcing It would be to actually call in our manifestation and see it in our physical world.
I definitely think there's something to that. But you said two words that I think are the crux in all of this. Actionable steps, right? Like, it's one thing to envision our dream life and say, I'm going to do X or have Y or be with Z, right? But it's another thing just to sit there and think that it will magically happen without you doing anything whatsoever. And I think, you know, and science is starting to show us, and I've talked about this on other shows, like the field of quantum physics is starting to show us things, and that there's maybe something to this law of attraction stuff above and beyond woo-woo nonsense, right? That there does seem to be some, at least in the academic world, is slowly awakening to this might be real. This seems like there's something to it. But if you accept that the universe or whatever you choose to describe that as is going to bring you those things, you also have to put yourself in a position to allow that into your life, right? Like you wanted the partner of your dreams, but you wouldn't have gotten it if you just stayed in your apartment and never left, right? Like you had to take action to put yourself out there to do it. You ended up getting the dream job you wanted that doubled your income, but you had to take steps to enable yourself to be able to take that position. So I think it's critical that you know, we understand that we do deserve to have this joyous, wonderful, glorious life, but we also have to take action to allow it to manifest, using a word you used a few moments ago. So what's your reaction to all of that?
We have to take action. Without action, everything in the book, whatever we decide to do, it's never going to manifest because we're not putting in any work to get it. It's just like we go to the stove and say, okay, give me food, but we don't turn the stove on. We don't cut up the veggies and put it on the stove to cook. So if we don't put in the work, we're never going to achieve success just by thinking about it. And I think a lot of people get the law of attraction wrong with just thinking happy thoughts. You can't just think happy thoughts. It's definitely deeper than that. You have to become who you want to become. And that's going to take aligned, actionable steps to get there. You can't just think about stuff all day long. You have to actually take action. And that's why there are so many small bite-sized steps in the book to help procrastinators take steps to actually get to where they want to be in this life. So that's crucial to anything in life.
Perfect. I love it. I love that you've taken really complex things and you've broken them down into bite-sized, digestible, actionable stuff. I love this. Chloe, I am so happy your book is out in the world. We need it now more than ever. Our time together has been a delight. As you know, I wrap up every episode by asking my guest, this is one question, and that is, what is your biggest helping, that one most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today?
I want people to tap into their untapped magic. We all have that. That's our mind. Simply tap into your mind, and that's how you can actually cultivate a limitless life.
Well said. Chloe, tell us where people can learn more about you online.
You can find me on my website. It's chloeponta.co, or I'm on Instagram. It's at Chloe Ponta.
We will have everything Chloe Ponta at the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Chloe, thank you for joining us today. I'm very excited about the book. I loved having you with us today. This was awesome.
Thanks, Dr. Richard. My pleasure.
Absolutely. And I also wanted to thank each and every one of you who took time out of your day to listen to this conversation. If you liked it, if you're excited, if you are going to go access your own untapped magic, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, because that is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post in your social media feeds using the hashtag #MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.